Leviticus 23, verse 39. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, in Deuteronomy and other places it says, when you have gathered in the grain and the wine, when we as a body, again, God is dealing with us as one. When we as a body can know that we have gathered in all of the grain and all of the wine, that there is nothing else we need, yeah, that the harvest has been fruitful. You understand? We need nothing in the world. There's nothing, and it's been evidenced 1,000 times. Now, individuals within your groups may think they need something. That's okay, that means they're children. That doesn't mean they're not in the body. It just means they're children. Now, you all know enough to know that you can't apply the standards that I apply to you to your children, because then you're seething your kids or children in the mother's milk. You don't want to do that. In terms of the garment, all I have to be able to say is, well, I still want this, but I'm the Lord's and still want this. Yeah. I may be crazy, but I'm the Lord's crazy. You don't have to get them to perform any standards. There's no performance. There's no attitudinal things. The only thing that you have to concern yourself is, can they say, I'm the Lord's. I may be this, but I'm the Lord's. I may be that, but I'm the Lord's. You understand? We as a body can say that we've gathered in the grain and the wine. We need nothing else. But there are children within the body. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. And the first day shall be a Sabbath, and the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And all the rules of Sabbath are fulfilled. I won't bore you with all those details. But
I'm asking a question. This is pretty interesting. Keep a feast 7 days. First day, eighth day.
There's two feasts. But you can't get to the second one until you fulfill the first one. That was the thrust of the teaching. If you looked at the notes, the thrust of the notes, that there are two totally separate feasts, separate offerings, separate things. You shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever. I'm sorry. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Now, the boughs of the goodly trees, and the branches of the palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and the willows of the brook are what the lulav is constructed. Well, we're not doing that this year. I made the decision not to. That's the thing that was the primary element of the palm branch, and you have the palm branch in your hand, and palm always means victorious, and you're victorious over the nations, and you every time when the psalm Hallel is read and they said save now, they shook the palm, the symbolic of God is shaking all things till only that which is unshakable can remain. Now, we're not doing that part of the ceremony this year because it's too, we have enough to worry about with the two we're worrying about. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Now, this rejoicing, since this feast is manifested internally, then the rejoicing is manifested internally, regardless of the external circumstances. It's manifested in every step, wherever your foot touches. It matters not what you're doing. You understand? It matters not whether you're working for building houses or keeping kids or working in a job, or it doesn't matter what you're doing. The phenomena is an internalized phenomena. You rejoice the 7 days. Whatsoever you your hand finds to do, do it heartily. Now your work is accepted. You remember, we can't even get to the seventh day in the spirit until you've gone through the sin offering, the trespass offering, et cetera, et cetera. The assumption for this purpose and for this body is that we have because you have. You're their covering. Don't try to make them their own covering. I'm your covering. And he's my covering. And this phenomena, the feasting thing. Now, you don't have to believe. They don't have to believe. I don't have to believe. Because he believes. You don't have to cause any performance in anybody. This is not the time for law. Listen. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, even the Levite, and the stranger, the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. The stranger can do it too, as long as they can say, I mean, because otherwise we'd place performance on this. The garment, the predicate of the feast is simple. Do you know that you belong to God? Amen. Now, the idea of the garment is a really wild one. I mean, it's only spiritually discerned. It cannot be judged by the senses. And so that is a, you know, the only thing that I want each of you to do is to push people to the point that they can say, Father, I'm yours without condition. I may be crazy, but I'm God's crazy. You know, that's the garment. That's the wedding garment.
That's as far as they have to go.
They don't have to go any farther. Everything else, God will perform that which he has appointed you to do. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. So, you know, I'm not... That's the thing. But it's got to come back to us at every juncture that it's the promise of Jesus Christ is that the child, unto you the child is born, the government is on his shoulders, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That's the meaning of the gospel. Now, we challenge, we exhort, we do all kinds of things, but it comes down to the bottom line. I mean, you've seen me be harder on you, or all of you, than you could ever believe, but I hope you've also seen the other side, that you're accepted without condition. The only time I'm hard on you is when you're taking a stand, or when we're doing those things of preparing for Passover and stuff. So, it's all right. I mean, okay. You got to remember that this segment, this Leviticus from 23, where are we? 23:39 through the end, through 43, is a revelation. It's the revelation of the marriage. The marriage supper of the Lamb. It's completed now, if we could only but see it. And this, that's why, well, let's go on. Verse 41, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Well, you know what? Some of you were sitting outside and you heard me say this. They didn't dwell in booths when they came out of Egypt. It just says it. That I made know your generation, I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. What did they make the booths out of?
Sand.
They were in the desert.
They didn't have tents.
They didn't have tents, they didn't have anything. You know what they dwelt in? The cloud. The cloud was their booth. And the cloud dwelt over every one of the tabernacle, every vessel. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. You know why that booth is the dimensions it is? Because the Shekinah glory of God never came below 10 hand breadths. So the height of the booth had to be at least 10 hand breadths. And the size of the booth had to be so that the cherubim would fit within it. It should. I mean, it is, you know, as I said before, I could spend a lifetime teaching on the Feast of Tabernacles and what Christ said about it and how he fulfilled it. You shall dwell in booths 7 days, that all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. That's what it means to be born again. Are you an Israelite born? Are you established as extant from the first estate? Well, you know you are. How old are you? You're older than time, because Christ is in you. As soon as you know that, as soon as that you know you were with him that is from the beginning, then you become a father automatically. Then you reproduce yourself. Then you have children. Now,
I know we don't, you know, it's happened, but when you were saying that, and you know where your life is, it's all of a sudden, you know, I just thought within myself where that life is that, you know, it has been from the, I mean, it was like an identified place.
of knowing that, and it just, I mean, it was when you were saying that, it made a separation, and that I hadn't, you know, that I had never been where I could even see that, even far enough within myself to say that is my life, that place that I know, that is timeless and that is not subject to the vagaries of life. That is my life. And I don't know, just you saying that brought that I could say,
amen,
that place is my life.
Amen.
And in verse 44, and Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. The word declared is a wild, wild word, and the feasts are a wild, wild word, because feasts, the word feast in the Hebrew means set times. The word declared means to place in your understanding. When it says that Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord, it means, if you, the targum of that is Moses declared or revealed the gospel of Jesus Christ unto the children of Israel. The set time of the Lord. That's pretty wild.
Like the feast are the only real thing in time. I mean, that is what's happening all the time to everybody and nothing else. And, you know, the point is to declare it so that the people see that that's what's going on continually.
Amen. Now, again, as I've told you before, Luke 9:51 through Luke 17 are all the activities of Christ on the Feast of Tabernacles. Luke 6:38 or 6 something to, I mean John 6 something to John 12 are all the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, it's hard to believe 1/3 of the word of the Gospels are about Christ and the Feast of Tabernacles. That's awesome. Now, one of the readings that they had to do at this time is Isaiah 59:22. Isaiah 59. Now, I want each of you to read Zephaniah 1, 2, and 3. That's the only time. The Feast of Tabernacles is the only time the book of Zephaniah was read. And don't do that in your own time. It's on your reading books. I mean, if you. Last night we started to read each day of the 7 days of the feast, of the 8 days really of the Feast of Tabernacles. They had the water ceremony where they poured the water and the wine into the altar, and that's when Christ said, "Out of my belly shall flow rivers." But we know the Psalms. And that's the day that Christ changed the water into wine. And we know the psalms that were sung at each one of those days. And therefore, when Christ was turning the water into wine, we can know exactly what the high priest was doing on the day, because it said he did it in the 3rd day of the feast. All that's in your notes too. But Isaiah 59:20. The reading is from Isaiah 59:20 to Isaiah 60:22. What? Doesn't have what? Oh. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. This is the reading for the eighth day. The resurrection of Christ is now within you. It's no longer a historical fact. It's no longer a system of thought that you have to try to get right. It's no longer little rules and behaviors that you have to try to do. The glory of the Lord of Israel is risen upon you. Now be you. You might get chewed out, but be you. Once the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, then never again can you make a mistake. You can do nothing against the truth. Once that penetrates your being, you can afford to abandon yourself and quit thinking about yourself at all. I mean, let it hit. You cannot make a mistake. Why? Because Christ is your life. You can do nothing against the truth. Why? Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? You wouldn't be here if you were reprobate. If I judged you by the outward flesh, you're all reprobates. If I judged you by my performance, if I judge me by my performance, I'm the worst reprobate. But all that I have to know is that Jesus Christ is in me. And I know it because the celebration of the eighth day of the feast is the resurrection. Amen. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That's what's happened. There's 5 billion Bibles and no light. All they do is read the Bible to see what they should do. By definition, there's no light. All you have done thus far here is to walk in darkness, because you have come here to try to find out what you should do. Therefore, you've stumbled in the darkness. Now, you don't have to ask that question anymore. Now, for you to live as Christ. Period. There's no exception to that. That's the essence, the meaning of the eighth day of the feast.
Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And I go, were those lights that you're talking, were they lit the full 7 days or only on the eighth day?
No, the lights were lit every day.
The as far as illuminating all of Jerusalem, just like that?
The light ceremony and the water pouring ceremony was done every day of the feast. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, that's obviously talking about Christ, but it's only Christ in history unless you see now that that's Christ in you. Kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. Why? For you to live as Christ. You're not studying history any longer. You're not trying to get it right any longer. Gets better. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together. If you will ever understand once in your life, evangelism, as the world knows it, is bullshit. This is flowing as natural as water running down a hill. All nations shall flow into a mountain called the New Jerusalem. Water can't, what the hell, you can't do that, that's impossible. If we are as Mount Zion, then we are all the world can see of the New Jerusalem. It will never have any comeliness that men should desire it. It will never have any beauty that we should kind of sell it. It'll never be anything that we can say, oh, come on, if you come over here, you'll get your goodies. It will always be a despised and broken people by the senses. But the Gentiles and the nations shall flow into it without any effort. That's why water runs downhill. So you can see that one lesson. Amen?
Amen.
And thine heart shall fear. What the hell? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's got all this good stuff, but now it says thine heart shall fear. Well, then you ignore your heart. Truth is a sustained consciousness of error. You're never right. You never have to worry about being right. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. That's the secret of the walk. Your conscience has been sprinkled with the blood so that you no longer have to pay any attention to the dead works. What the hell is that thing doing? Because the abundance of the sea, the abundance of the sea means the wealth of the world shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now this is, you understand, this is the reading for the Feast of Tabernacles, for the eighth day. The multitude, now here we got a problem here, we got to worry about where we're going to store all these camels.
Jeans back here.
The multitude of camels shall cover thee. Well, that sounds exciting. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to the windows? I'm not sure I know what it means, but I sure love that scripture. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls. You understand? You are the lively stones. We are the sons of the strangers that are building up the walls of the New Jerusalem. And their kings shall minister unto thee. Get ready. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, which God hath prepared for them that wait on him. The moment you see, you're there now. For in my wrath I smote thee. But in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night. that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Oh, no, wait a minute. They must be talking about something else here. This must be history. No. This is to a people who can celebrate the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles in knowledge. The nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I'll make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And that sounds disgusting. Huh?
Must mean something else.
Must mean queen.
No. Very cool.
I didn't say that. What?
You're out of order.
Yeah. Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, for iron I will bring silver, for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace and thy exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy wall salvation, and thy gates praise. You understand? The sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. That's to a people that can celebrate in knowledge the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen.
Got it?
Something that Larry spoke a while ago reminded me that in the last few days I've been thinking about stuff, and I look back over my life and it's like there's a half a dozen points of being really young and hearing about God and knowing that was it. And then getting off into stuff and coming back and hearing again and knowing that was it. And it's like that's happened all along. And it was like putting that all together and knowing that it's been that way from beginning of time.
Yeah.
And the only thing that ever really meant anything was when I crossed that point of remembrance.
That's what the peace are.
And the set times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To remember. You know, what I was thinking about a minute ago, it was funny because it was like the tide came in, and it was a rush, an emotional rush of joy to know that. It was great. I didn't want to tell you what was happening.
Zephaniah. You need to read all three chapters, but go to Zephaniah 3, verse 9. All of Zephaniah is about the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm sure you wanted to know that. It's the only time that minor prophet is read. In the course of study, what?
I was demonstrating to Pam that in my Bible, the wife's genealogy section is blank.
Why are you... Zephaniah isn't at the front of the book.
No, I had to look it up. I got to find the alphabetical.
C is the last letter.
1369.
Say, Harry, that ain't even your Bible, is it?
Before Zephaniah.
Before Revelation.
Don't get it mixed up with Zechariah.
There he is.
Zechariah is two books before. Zephaniah is two books before Zechariah. Everybody got it? Chapter 3, verse 9. Well, go to verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until a day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
I keep having a picture of, we're talking about nations and kingdoms, and in my head, you know, it's like all these things, the nations that are there, you know, and they're all... They're either
going to
serve, or they're
going to
be
obliterated.
Wasted.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God at last.
For then will I turn to the people, a pure language. That they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day thou shalt not be ashamed for all thy doings when thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more.
That's going to be the most amazing verse, the greatest verse.
Now, remember, in the New Testament, in several places it says, to the pure in heart, all things are pure. That's a biggie. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. The only way that can take place is when you no longer have the right to judge for yourself good or evil. When you take that ethrog, that paradise apple, and that represents your judgments and your stupid opinions about the Bible and stupid opinions about God, and throw it at the base of the altar so that you can live in pure abandonment. That God is all and in all. Not just, well, God is sort of there, or, man, I know that God is behind there working somehow, or, but you see the hand of God in everything. The night has already come. No man can work. You've been believing you could do the work of God. The night has come. You cannot work, so get it out of your system. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Remember, in Hebrew, the opposite of love is slack hands or apathy. In English, the opposite of love is hate. To the mind of Christ, the opposite of love is sloth or apathy. Now, that just doesn't mean every once in a while. That means no apathy, no sloth, ever again. Why? I'll tell you why. This one right here next. For the Lord thy God in the midst or in thee is mighty. In the midst there really says in Hebrew, it says the Lord thy God within thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing.
Yeah.
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty.
Mighty.
All right. Oh, yeah. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. What solemn assembly? Yeah, but the part of the solemn assembly, the part of the assembly that's solemn, is the part by which you burn yourself. You see your crap go up in the smoke. You're mourn for it for about 3 minutes.
Like that's a lot.
Well, it's probably going to be less than that by Friday night.
3 seconds,
right.
The usual. 3 minutes, oh boy.
Oh, gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, it doesn't say again. At that time will I bring you, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Zeph, baby. You know what Zephaniah means? Anybody remember? Zephaniah means hidden of God.
I knew that, but I didn't say it.
You lost all your blessings.
I could have gotten Revelation, but I didn't want to say it because that's only read, the only time that was read.
It was on the Feast. The Feast of Tabernacles.
That's verse. I'm right. I'm going to make a black
that's
you? Incredible.
What?
That's incredible.
We can write it on your forehead.
Yeah. He's taken away all my gestures.
Well, and the more
that you show me that then I'd be happy.
Harry, when you finally get it to your skull, the only reason you judge anybody is because you still condemn yourself.
I can't stop it. I do it in my sleep.
Harry, I want you to hear this very carefully. From now on, I will condemn you enough where you never have to worry about it.
I knew it. I thought you all condemn Harry, and then he wanted to buy
one. We'll take on your burden, Harry.
Bastard, Harry. Larry's good at it.
Larry's good at it.
Larry's gonna follow me around all day long. Levi Hill.
If only.
He's
gonna tell you all the if only. If only, Harry, you were.
So how many other about 50 right now when we will be in the numbered. So we'll find out for sure by Thursday morning. All the groups are meeting tomorrow night, right? So you'll be able to discern then. Okay, take it large person.
You'll say she will.